This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 102, which is the first page of the 6th juz, Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous couple of episodes gave to us a number of instructions or guidelines concerning the hypocrites and the way that they behave and some of the characteristics and attributes that they possess, and how from amongst those attributes is that when they stand to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do so out of laziness, they do so in a very lackadaisical method and with a lackadaisical approach, and that they only do so for the benefit of others, in order to show off and to impress others, and that they remember Allah Azza wa Jal very little. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that as a result of their actions and their lack of belief, Allah Azza wa Jal will give to them the worst of punishments, that they will be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. Today we continue from verse 148, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. Allah does not like bad words to be made public unless someone has been wronged, and He is all hearing and all knowing. This verse comes after the instructions concerning the hypocrites, and one of the things that the hypocrites would do is that they would speak with very evil words. They would disparage the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would disparage and mock the Muslims and the believers, and they would disparage Islam and everything to do with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal here is mentioning to us that it is not befitting for the believer to be of that type of characteristic, or to have that type of characteristic. And that is that the words that come out from their mouth are often words that are not becoming for the believer. Their words are either words that are words of vain speech, words of cursing, words of swearing, words in which they are lying or cheating, words that often amount to some type of harm or oppression or evil. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول. Allah does not like bad words to be made public, meaning that they are done openly, that you say them in open conversation, that it is something that you say to people publicly. And that is because when people become accustomed to this type of speech, you yourself become accustomed to it. So you're a person who, for example, often when you speak, you'll swear, you'll curse, you'll backbite. The words that you use are not becoming and befitting of a Muslim. That then becomes your personality. It becomes something which you are known for. It becomes something which people recognize you by. Not only that, but then the people that you do this with often also start to do this, or they maybe themselves have already had this habit, and it becomes something which then becomes a common trait amongst a group of people. So sometimes you find within a family that people swear and they don't think anything of it. And if someone was to come and say to them, look, you often use bad language, or your words aren't very good, they'll actually consider them to be the person that's the odd one out. They'll consider their approach to be, you know, it's just a swear word, it's just, we don't mean it, it's just, we're just having a banter, we're just speaking, we're just having a bit of fun. And that's the way people will approach this issue. And then when that comes out of a family, it's a number of families, it's in a neighborhood, it's within a group of people, the community then becomes accustomed to this. And that's why it's something which a person has to be aware of. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was someone, as he said, that never said anything which is fahish, never said anything which is vain speech or evil speech or anything which is not becoming to come out of the word or the mouth of a Muslim. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal will hold us to account for the words that we say. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an, when he explained to him a number of evil deeds, and then he said, shall I tell you what controls all of this? What is behind all of it? And then Mu'adh said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam held his tongue and he said, it is this. Mu'adh said, O Messenger of Allah, will we be held to account for the words that we utter? The Prophet replied, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and will the people be dragged upon their faces and thrown into the fire, except as a result of the words that they utter? How much of what we do and the way that we interact with people and deal with them is as a result of the words that we use, the speech that comes out of our mouths? And one of the things about that speech, those words, is because they come out so fast, because they come out in a great number, it is often very difficult to remember what we said and when we said it. Very difficult to remember. We said this at that time, and that's maybe the way that it came across. Very difficult to remember and account for all of those words. So you don't know what you're saying, and you don't know how you're saying it. And also because words can hurt. Words can have an effect on people. Words sometimes can cause more harm than physical actions. And so you say a word and you say in one spirit, or you say with one intention, but the person that you said it to becomes very offended. They become upset. It harms them in a way that you perhaps don't understand. And then that leads to other problems within the community. And that is generally why the Muslim is someone who is modest. Modest in their actions, modest in their character, modest in the words that they use. Careful and people who use their words very, very sparingly. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسكت. Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, either speak good or just remain quiet. If you don't have anything to say, you don't have anything productive to say, or you can't find the words to say it in a way that is good and beneficial, then remain quiet. Because if you remain quiet, as the Arabs say, man samata naja, whoever remains quiet is successful. Because no one can come and hold anything against you either in this life or on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us an exception to this rule, and he says, illa man zulim, except for those that have been wronged and oppressed. They have a right to speak. Someone who wrongs someone else, and then that person who is the oppressed comes and speaks out against that oppression and wrong, or they complain to a person in a position of authority, or they take it up with the relevant authorities and they say, so and so harm me, that's not considered to be evil speech. That's not considered to be backbiting, because those people have a right, and their rights have been taken or trampled upon, and so therefore their recourse is to go to those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed them in those positions of authority, that they may right that wrong for them. And this is from the beauty and the justice of Islam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes this exception, knowing that there are groups of people that need to speak at certain times, and similar situations to this, as is mentioned in the books of fiqh. So for example, if someone comes and seeks sincere advice, they want their daughter, for example, to get married to someone, or their son is looking for a spouse, and you are close to that individual that they're looking into, and you can give them sincere advice, for you to give sincere advice is from good speech. And it's not considered to be from evil speech, even if you have to say something which may not be entirely positive about that individual. You're being honest in the way that you're giving that feedback. And so these are exceptions to that rule, but the general qa'ida, the general principle in Islam, is that your words are words of good. Your words are words of benefit. And that is why, as we mentioned before in the verse that we already covered in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah Azza wa Jal said that there is no good in the vast majority of their gatherings, except those who command some good or some sadaqah or reconciliation between people. And that's because many of those gatherings end up having vain speech, where people will say things that are not befitting and that shouldn't be said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues in verse number 149, and he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. If you do good openly or in secret, or if you pardon something bad, then Allah Azza wa Jal is most forgiving, most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you do, of good or bad, your speech, your actions, whether it is in open or in secret, Allah Azza wa Jal knows and has knowledge of that which you have done. So sometimes people have these moments where they will speak evil, but it's in a small gathering, or it's with just another individual. And so they're having this conversation with one person, and because it's not in public, then they think that it's okay. Allah Azza wa Jal in the previous verse said, don't do this publicly, don't have evil speech, because that is worse in terms of the impact that it has upon the community. But that doesn't mean that if you don't do it in public, you do it in a private setting, you do it in your home, you do it in the house of someone else, you do it with just a few people, that doesn't mean that it becomes permissible. It just means that the one that does it openly and in public is worse, because the harm and the impact of that is far greater and far wider than the person who does it in a private setting. But doing it in a private setting, speaking evil about people, backbiting, slander, and so on, is still haram. And it is still considered to be something which a person should stay away from. And that is where Allah Azza wa Jal makes this distinction. Allah knows what you do, whether you do it openly or whether you do it in secret. أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ. And if you forgive or pardon something which is bad, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Then Allah Azza wa Jal is most forgiving, most powerful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran encourages people to forgive, encourages people to pardon, with the intention that by forgiving someone who has harmed you and done wrong to you, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower upon you His mercy. He will pardon you just as you pardon someone else. And you pardon someone in the dunya for one of the rights of the dunya. They harmed you in terms of your wealth, in terms of your honor, in terms of something else. That's a worldly right of yours. But when Allah Azza wa Jal pardons, He pardons for you in the akhirah. He pardons you in terms of the sins that you've committed. And He pardons you from the punishment of the fire. And so to forgive and to forgo and to pardon and to show mercy, it is from the best of characteristics. And Allah Azza wa Jal places upon it a great reward, because it is something difficult to do. Someone who harms you, to turn around and to forgive them. And to forgive and to pardon, by the way, means that you don't hold it over them. You don't come back and keep reminding them. It's not something which you're constantly going to keep bringing up in conversation. Oh, but don't you remember that I forgave you? Or remember this? That's not considered forgiveness. It's not considered pardoning. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do this with those Muslims who accepted Islam. And prior to that, they harmed the Muslims. They killed the Muslims. They fought the Muslims. He never used to say to them, but don't you remember what you did last year? Don't you remember what you did on the day of Badr or Uhud? Don't you remember what you did when we were in Mecca? This wasn't the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's because when a person does that, it's a sign that they didn't truly forgive. They didn't truly pardon. But if you forgive someone and you pardon them genuinely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon you in return. And that is something which Allah Azza wa Jal shows us in the Quran in various verses, and that the Prophet ﷺ himself showed us practically within his sunnah. In verse 150, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. As for those who ignore Allah and His messengers and want to make a distinction between them, saying, we believe in some but not in others, seeking a middle way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are a group of people. There are three groups of people. The first are those who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and believe in all of His messengers and prophets. And those are the believers. They believe in Allah, they believe in all of the prophets and messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa salatu wa salam. And they don't make a distinction between them. They won't accept some and reject others. And that is why from the cornerstones of our iman is that pillar of the faith in the messengers. And that means that you believe in all of them generally. Even if you don't know their names, even if you don't know their stories, even if they're not mentioned in the Quran, you believe that Allah Azza wa Jal sent prophets and messengers, and we accept all of them as Allah's prophets and messengers. And then where there are additional details, names, stories, information, either in the Quran or the Sunnah, that is something which you believe in extra. We believe that there was a prophet called Ibrahim, that he was thrown into the fire, that he had a son called Ismail, that he left that son in the barren desert of Mecca, and so on and so forth. We believe in all of those details as they came, whoever they came about from the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the believers. And then there are those people who don't believe in Allah, and they don't believe in the prophets and messengers. They reject them all. They don't believe that Allah sent messengers to mankind. They don't believe in any of the prophets, whether it's Adam or Nuh or Ibrahim or Musa or Isa or our messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. They don't believe in any of them. And those are the disbelievers. And then from amongst them, the disbelievers, there are those who want to make a distinction. And that is those people that Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then go on to speak about in the end of today's episode and tomorrow's and the next episode. Allah Azza wa Jal will go on to speak about in the passage about the people of the book and the people of the scripture. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks about a third group of people amongst the disbelievers now. These people amongst the disbelievers want to make a distinction. Allah Azza wa Jal says they disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, but the way that they disbelieve is because they want to make a distinction between some as opposed to others. We will accept some, but we won't accept all of them. We believe in these, but we don't believe in those. And those are the people, for example, that say that we believe in all of the prophets of Allah except our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, the Christians, they believe in all of the prophets of God because they mention in the Bible, they mention in the Torah, in the Gospels and so on, but they won't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't consider him to be a messenger of Allah. Or like the Jews, who likewise believe in the prophets and messengers of Allah up until Moses and Aaron and so on. But they won't believe in Jesus. They won't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're essentially making a distinction. Or anyone else that does this, that says, for example, that I believe in all of the prophets, but Ibrahim, Lut, Nuh, these 3, 4, 5, I won't believe in them. That is essentially kufr. It is disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because they have rejected what Allah Azza wa Jal has told them. They have rejected part of it. And to reject part of what Allah has said is like rejecting the complete or the whole of what Allah Azza wa Jal has said. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people want to take a middle path. They want to take a path in which they can pick and choose what they want to accept. I will believe in that prophet, but I won't believe in that prophet. Why? Because if they believed in the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they would have to believe in his sharia. They would have to believe in his laws. They would have to believe in his teachings sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in this way, they can choose. They can reject this. They don't like it, or they won't accept it for whatever reason. And so they can choose what to believe and what not to believe. Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 151, speaking about these people, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّا وَعَتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. They are really disbelievers. We have prepared a humiliating punishment for those who disbelieve. Allah Azza wa Jalla says these people are still disbelievers. هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّا. Allah says they are truly, really disbelievers. Because they have more than what those people who disbelieve in everything do. Those people who reject all prophets and messengers don't even believe in the concept that Allah would send people and give them revelation and make them prophets and messengers. They don't believe in the concept at all. But these people believe in the concept. They accept that Allah sent prophets and messengers. So then why are you making a distinction? Why are you choosing some over others when all of them have brought those same messages, same signs from Allah Azza wa Jal, miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of them have the signs of truthfulness in their statement that they are prophets and messengers of Allah. Why are you making a distinction between them? That is, in some ways, worse than the other group who just rejects the concept. They don't even believe that it happens. These people understand the concept. They accept it. They believe in it. They know how it works. But still, they will reject certain prophets of Allah, namely our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal says, that for them is the worst of punishments. In verse 152, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks then about the believers, who is the third group. So these are the first group, if you like, the people who believe in Allah and all of his messengers. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. But Allah will give rewards to those who believe in him and his messengers and make no distinction between any of them. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those people of true iman, they believe in all of the pillars of faith, they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, they believe in all of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi wassalatu wassalam, and they don't make a distinction between them. They're not cherry picking and choosing which ones to accept and which ones not to accept. They don't say that we believe in these and we don't believe in those. They accept all of them, that they are the prophets and messengers of Allah, as Allah Azza wa Jal has related to us their stories in the Quran, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal says concerning those people who have that level of faith, أُولَٰئِكَ سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal will give to them their full reward. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal is most forgiving, most merciful. In the next verse 153 and the next passage and more, it is now dedicated to the people of the book and the people of the scripture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak about them, and we will have to divide this over a number of episodes because it is more than just a couple of verses. So we begin with verse 153, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَى أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَقَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ ثم اتخذوا العجل من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات فعفونا عن ذلك وآتينا موسى سلطانا مبينا.
The people of the book demand that you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make a book physically come down to them from heaven. But they demanded even more than that of Musa when they said, show us Allah face to face. And they were struck by the thunderbolt for their presumption. Even after clear revelations had come down to them, they took the calf as an object of worship, yet we pardoned this and gave Musa clear authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is speaking now about the situation of the people of the book. And Allah azza wa jalla is making a comparison between the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was having to deal with the people of the scripture of his time, and how those people, even in the time of their own prophets, that they did believe in, that they did accept as prophets and messengers of Allah, how difficult they were with them, and how much difficulty their prophets had to endure from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of the scripture ask from you that you cause a book to descend from the heavens. So the Quran, as we know, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was revealed over time. Verses there over a 23-year period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation of the Quran in stages, in small amounts. A verse here, a verse there, a few verses here, a passage there, or sometimes a full surah. But it was done over 23 years. And so the Quran didn't come down as a physical book, but rather it was an oral transmission. Jibreel alayhi salam would come, he would recite the verses to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would memorize the Quran and he would recite it to the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een. These people of the book are saying, we don't accept this Quran as the word of Allah, as the revelation of Allah, as the book of Allah. We want to see a physical book come down before our eyes. And this is something which Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't do for the prophets. Even the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him the tablets of the Torah, it wasn't something which all of the Bani Israel witnessed, but rather Musa alayhi salam was told to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And he was the one who received the Torah. They said, we want to see now a physical book coming down. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they ask this of you, then don't be surprised. Because they asked of their own messenger that they did believe in, that they did accept, that they did acknowledge was the messenger of Allah, they asked from him something which was even far greater. Far more than what they have asked from you. فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They demanded from Musa something more than this. What did they demand from Musa? فَقَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They said, let us see Allah face to face. What remains then of belief, of iman, of the unseen, if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah Azza wa Jal was to come down to earth now, no one would disbelieve. Everyone would believe Allah Azza wa Jal and believe in Allah and believe in Islam and so on. Everyone would accept faith if Allah Azza wa Jal was to show himself in front of all of creation. So where then is the test? Where then are those people who are true in faith because they believe in the signs of Allah and they believe in the revelation of Allah, as opposed to those people who are now believing because they have no other choice? It is as plain as everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they demanded something even more. They demanded that Allah should come to them face to face. And look at the arrogance of this claim. As the Quraysh used to do, as Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention when we come to those verses in Surah Al-Isra, that they had a number of demands from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh and the Arabs. And they wanted him to have palaces, and they wanted him to fly in the sky, and they wanted so many things. These demands are signs of arrogance and disbelief. That a person would have the audacity to say to Allah, if you want me to believe in you, this is the sign that I demand. If you don't give me this sign, I won't believe. The signs that Allah has given are not enough in the heavens and the earth and the universe and the revelation and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, I don't want those signs. I want the sign that I want. You give me my sign. And look at the audacity that takes and the arrogance of that person who makes such a demand from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal took them with the, or struck them with the thunderbolt because of the audacity of that claim that they made, or that demand that they made of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and then after this, ثُمَّ اتَّخَذُوا الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And even after this, they worshipped the calf. They made shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal forgave them for this as well. وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. And we gave to Musa alayhi salam the clear authority. In the final verse that we will take today, Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 154, ورفعنا فوقهم الطور بميثاقهم وقلنا لهم ادخلوا الباب سجدا وقلنا لهم لا تعدوا في السبت وأخذنا منهم ميثاقا غليظا.
We made the mountain tower high above them at their pledge. We said to them, enter the gate humbly and do not break the Sabbath, and took a solemn pledge from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah azza wa jalla then took from amongst them this pledge. The pledge and their belief was taken because they were refusing to accept and believe when Allah azza wa jalla raised the mountain of Tur above their heads, meaning it became like a canopy, as Allah azza wa jalla will mention in one of the forthcoming verses and surahs inshallah ta'ala that we will come to. Allah azza wa jalla raised it above them as if it was like an umbrella or a canopy that was going to fall upon them. Imagine a mountain being raised upon you, looking like it's going to fall upon you. And they were told, accept the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept the commands of Allah azza wa jalla, and then they did so. To show the level of difficulty that they had, and the level of obstinance that they had, until they came to this point where they had to accept. And they were told, as we said before in the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, that when they were going to enter into the Holy Land, they should enter in a state of sajda. Enter with humility, with humbleness, as we said. And again, they changed that word that they were told to say, as we mentioned before in the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And they were told, don't fish on the Sabbath. And that's something which we will also, or don't break the Sabbath. And that's also something which Allah Azza wa Jal will speak about in more detail in the forthcoming surah, how Allah Azza wa Jal gave them the command not to do anything upon the Sabbath, which is the Saturday, and they twisted the rules around so that they could benefit and still, in their mind, keep to that ruling. And Allah Azza wa Jal said that was their playing with the Sharia and the rules of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a solemn pledge from them. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode, Allah Azza wa Jal will then go on to mention how they broke that pledge, that the covenant that Allah Azza wa Jal took from them. But inshallah ta'ala, we will leave that for the next episode. Barakallahu fikum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.